This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 16, 2014, Septuagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. Kind of makes you want to rethink the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet, right? That's his words. Those are his words. It should also give you pause to think also when you hear people say such thing as, "Well, I can't stand the church's rules. You know, why don't we just get back to what Jesus said?" You just heard, for an extended period, what Jesus has to say. Who can abide that? Who can abide that? We can't. We need his grace to do so. And you could get decades of moralistic sermons out of that gospel passage. I could sit here and say, "Oh, you do this and you do that," and all this kind of... It's not what it's about, okay? Jesus is making a very, very specific point that I hear so often. "Well, I haven't been to confession in a few years because, you know, it's not like I broke any commandments or anything." If you just paid one lick of attention to what I just read, you should realize that you break them every single day, maybe not all of them, but every single day, thought, word, and deed in some cases, every single day. That's why the church mandates that you go to confession once a year. Now, again, I could get eons of moralistic sermons out of this. I don't even want to go there today. You heard what he has to say. I can say no more. What I do want to focus on is this thing about if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. What does Jesus mean? Of course, if you got any common sense at all, you know the Lord is not talking about some kind of self-mutilation. Okay? To what ends is that? Doesn't make any sense. What is he saying? He's saying this, and it's simply whatever or whomever is an immediate occasion of sin, as near and dear as it or they may be to you, must be abandoned without delay. Anything that may offend against God that you have in your life should be cast away immediately, no matter how near and dear it is to your heart. You know, it's very good. I actually tried to play devil's advocate, so to speak, when I was putting this together. And I tried to come up with an example of something that might lead to sin that you just can't get rid of. You know what? I couldn't do it. So I challenge you. I challenge you. Sit there and think about it and come, you know, bring it up to me. And I'm probably going to be able to tell you how it doesn't work. Because Jesus is telling us it doesn't work. You have to guard your eyes. You have to guard your hands. Be ready to sacrifice anything to prevent an offense against God. That is our job. That's our lot in life for us as individuals, because we can't do his work if we are in any way disassociated with his grace, as mortal sin does to us. Again, it's not parts of the body that cause sin. Jesus is not going there. Right? He says that your right eye offends you. Oh, excellent. That means I can cover my right eye and look at something that I left, and I'll be okay. No, absolutely not. Doesn't have anything to do with that. Have anything to do with your eyes. It doesn't have anything to do with your hands. Parts of the body are not the cause of sin. Jesus is calling you to a life in which you render anything that is in your body useless for sin. Because it's not the parts of the body. I'll kind of expound on that in a couple minutes. Let's look at what he talks about, the eyes. You know, just focus on that one, not the hands so much. The eyes. What's the big deal with the eyes? For one thing, the eye is the most sensitive organ in your body from an organic standpoint, just from a biological standpoint. Okay? Everybody, you look up real quick and something's coming at you. What's the first, it's instinctive. You can't help it. You go like this. Why? You're protecting your eyes. You're the most sensitive thing. If you don't have your eyes, you can't defend yourself. And also, everybody in here knows, you know, when something blows in your eye, or if you're doing something, if something flies up in your eye, how that hurts. And the most excruciating night that I can, most uncomfortable night I can ever remember is when I had something going on with my eye, and there was just no slit, no nothing. Okay, it's very, very uncomfortable for anything to be going on with your eye. It's that sensitive. The scriptures tell us in the Psalms, God protect us as the apple of your eye. That's your pupil. You know, because he knows that everybody protects their eyes. So we want him to protect us as much as we do our own eyes. That's just from an organic standpoint. But if you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, many iniquities, you know, all 99.999% of sin starts by something that you see. Unless you're totally blind, that's the beginning of the slide, is something that you see. We have the perfect scriptural example, King David. King David, he should have been out fighting with his soldiers, but he decided to hang out at the house while his soldiers were out. They don't need me, they're just going to hang out here. You know, this is the man that's got 120 wives and concubines. It's not like he was wanting for female companionship. What does he do? He goes up on his roof, looks at some other lady next door that's the wife of somebody else, and what he sees leads to adultery and murder. That's where it all starts. I mean, that's a prime example of this whole point that I'm trying to make. My beloved Council of Trent, describing the eyes, says, and I quote, "They are inlets to criminal passion." Your eyes are inlets to criminal passion. We have to guard them more than any other sense organ that we have. It's kind of where Jesus is going with the eye, because they are indeed portals to the soul. We know from the scriptures that if you look at something and it is light or good, your soul is light. If you look at something that is dark, your soul becomes dark. Just the nature of the beast, literally and figuratively. There are portals of your soul, and it basically what Jesus is talking about is purity. Because we are called to purity as Catholic Christians. That is just the bottom line. You are called to live a life that is different from the light in the world. The second reading today, to the mature we impart wisdom. Not the world's wisdom, it's the wisdom of God. And notice that's to the mature. Because there are a lot of Christians out there that darken the doors of our parishes that do not conform the way they should to purity. I'll get into that in a couple seconds. But first I want to talk about some methods to guard your purity. And I'm not going to expound on each and every one of these because you all know them and they're different subjects for different days. But there are specific and objective methods where you can guard the purity of your eyes, hands, you name it. Frequent communion. Frequent confession. Devotion to our Blessed Mother. Prayer. Mortification. Mortification, a spiritual term for doing without something you like. Guarding your senses, not entertaining things that are attractive, and avoiding idleness. Avoiding idleness. You don't have anything to do? How many people do? I'm really bored. I think I'll go read the Bible. Hardly ever happens. I'm looking at my, I sit around, that's not my first inclination. And I'm a priest to go, oh, I'm kind of bored. What should I do? Again, it's just not our humanness. But we should discipline yourself to do it. It doesn't come naturally. None of this comes naturally. You have to rely on the grace of the Holy Spirit. Those things that you do to objectively guard yourself. And again, different subjects for different days. You all know you've heard it before. But I do want to talk a little bit about something. We can get kind of caught up in this one-sided view of the whole thing about what you take into your eyes. And we don't take into consideration what we present to other people's eyes. And this is where, this is something that says, you know, it's really cool to be in this parish. Because in other parishes, it would be like, oh, he busted our chops for dressing this and doing this and doing it. In this parish, it's really neat because this is not in any way, shape, or form a rebuke or an admonition. Because believe you me, and I say this from a holy pride, I get people regularly who come up to me that have visited this parish and go, I love your parish because I don't see this, I don't see that. And it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on this side of the altar rail. They're talking about the way people are around them, whether it be talking loudly, you know, joking around before Mass, what they wear. You know, there's a whole lot of folks out there, this whole idea of decorum and modesty. I would submit to you that there is a need for a crusade in this matter in the church. If we don't say, if you go here all the time, you're like, what is he talking about? I can celebrate Mass at a lot of parishes around here. I am dumbfounded occasionally at some of the stuff I see. Decorum and modesty, St. Jose Maria Escrivá, who founded Opus Dei, he says that decorum and modesty are the younger brothers of purity. They're the younger brothers of purity. That's where it starts. Decorum and modesty, 101, folks, it's just a sign of good taste. You know, we are something different. We are supposed to present something different, particularly in the house of God. You hear so many people, God doesn't care how I come. Well, you've obviously never read the book, because he does indeed care. Old Testament, when you come before me, you do this, you bring this, you don't do this, you don't come any closer than this, you give it to this person. Very structured. And you know what? Throughout the Old Testament, you are always to bring your best. He emphasized that time and time and time again, bringing your best, bringing your best. You know what, guys? You know, yeah, there might be somebody in the doldrums, but for the vast majority of people, a tank top and cutoff shorts is not your best. All right? And you know what they say? When they say, oh, God doesn't care, what I hear when I hear that, I don't care. Because that's what they mean. Because God does care. You know anything about what he says or his word, he does care. So when you say he doesn't, that just means you don't, and you're trying to make an excuse for it. Again, it's just a good sign, a sign of good taste. I mean, you ought not walk around out in the world looking like the world, because you're something different. It's a matter of respect. It's a matter of respect for the dignity of the one whom we come in here and serve. It's a matter of respect for the dignity of one another. Because you could be a stumbling block to other people. Yeah? There's so many people, that's my right. I have the right to do, you know what? I'll stand here and go, okay, yeah, Christian liberty, that's your right. You can dress like that. But guess what? I can say something about it. Generally, if you say something about it once or twice, they usually find somewhere where it's a little bit more comfortable to go. All right? Because there's a lot of places out there where it is comfortable to go. But it's a necessity. It really is. Yeah, it might have a right. We do have Christian liberty. We do have moral freedom. But what did our Lord Jesus Christ say in that gospel message? What does he say? I'll put it in a nutshell. He says that it's better to sacrifice a portion of your moral freedom to avoid losing absolutely everything. Because he says not once, but twice. And whenever there's anything repeated in the Bible, the Holy Spirit wants you to pay attention to it. He says it's better for you to go in without this or that than it is to be cast into hell. You can lose everything if you don't guard yourself. And again, it's not just what comes into you, but what you present to other people. You can lose everything. It says about you plucking out your eye and cutting off your hands. You know, the matter is, it's not the individual parts of the body that sin. It's not individual parts of the body. It's your heart. And I don't mean the muscle in your chest that pumps blood to everything. I'm talking about your spirit. Your spirit is what we need to get a grip upon. We need to get a grip upon our spirit. We need to ask God, through his grace, to change our hearts. To always make them more and more in conformity with his will. Because again, as the reading said this morning, this is not the wisdom of this age. Because you go out there and you can go to some parish and go, oh, it doesn't make any difference. He's just stodgy. Well, again, you heard read this morning that the gospel of the Lord, right? Not Doc's 2 cents on everything. So I'm not talking too much about it because it was very pointed and very, very individualistic. Because the matter stands, again, it's a question of heart. And that's what each and every one of us have to do. Always self-examine. We always need to be introspective. We always need to ask ourselves questions. And you really, the questions to be answered are succinctly put in the Sirach reading this morning. I quote from that. God has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you wish. Before men are life and death, and whichever he chooses will be given him. So, that is the question to be answered. Your heart is the matter at hand. Where's your heart? I quote again, God has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you wish. Which do you wish? Before men are life and death, and whichever chooses will be given to him. What do you choose? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.